the value of purity. The value of purity. Could we all just stand again, pray? Father in heaven, we are here before you this afternoon again. Lord, we know that you've been watching us the last couple days here. We know that you've not only been watching us, you've been among us here. And we thank you for how you have continued to work. Day by day, you've been sending your Spirit. You've been convicting us. I'd ask, Lord, especially that you would help all of us, that we would not be overwhelmed by the teaching, by various things that come our way, but help us, Lord, that we could grasp at least a small portion and step forward in faith. Father, we beg of you for that. Lord, you know that when we find ourselves in a place that we have so far to grow, it's sometimes difficult to, when it looks too overwhelming, it looks difficult to step forward. So we just ask for help with that. We ask in Jesus' name that you would just give me a clear burden, guide my thoughts, inspire my own heart, and help me to share and communicate in an effective way. And I ask, Lord, for all of us that are here, that we would be at a place where your Spirit could speak to us today. And we ask, would you take the thoughts way beyond the things I share and apply it to the specific needs of our own heart? Thank you for your presence and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I must say that it's been a very rich blessing to spend these couple days with all of you. And I'm not sure how to communicate this specifically, but I sense from you all a desire after God, a desire to grow, a desire to be fruitful in your walk with the Lord. And I just want to thank you for setting everything else aside and coming and being here. Thank you very much. It's a great blessing. Thank you for doing that. I trust that it'll help you in your walk with the Lord. And it's been helping me already. We're all here to grow together, aren't we? It's not just you. I know you might feel that, well, you're young and I'm older. I'm not old. I'm older. But we're here on this journey together. We want to help each other. The subject I'd like to speak today on is simply entitled The Value of Purity. The Value of Purity. It's one of those things that when, as years go on by, and either you've had the privilege or privilege, you have been at a place where you have walked in purity and holiness, and you look back and you reflect, you will be grateful for the walk that you've had in purity. Or if you've been at a place where some of those things where you have fallen and you haven't walked a pure life, you'll look back and you'll say, if I would have only done this, or if I would have only done that. And you'll look back because it's a continued effect on us. And I say that carefully because I want us to know that with the blood of Jesus Christ, there's cleansing and forgiveness. And yet there's some of these things that have far-reaching effects, and they affect us in ways that you have no idea. If you haven't walked through that, you have no idea. You have no clue, but please believe me. If I say that, please believe me. I'd like to maybe, first of all, take us back into history a ways and have us consider some bygone days and then how things have changed over the years on this whole moral issue. I'd like to suggest that all of us today have the flesh to contend with in the same way that Adam and Eve did way back in the garden. There's nothing that's changed. We still have the flesh to contend with. But it's interesting, as you travel around a bit in various cultures, there's cultures all around us today. I'm going to say that in our local areas here, I'm going to say that we here live in many ways in a sheltered environment. And let me describe that to you here soon. But in the bigger cities, there is an environment and a culture that's quite different than what we have here. Quite different. And maybe I'll just take you back about 2 years ago. Some of our family was over in Zanzibar to visit Josh while he was over there. And as we were there, obviously, and for those of you who don't know, Brother Mick, he's the one that started the work there in Zanzibar where Josh spent a couple of years. He started that. He came back because of some health issues a couple of years ago. But there in Zanzibar is a very heavy conservative Muslim influence. And it's Africa. It's an old culture. People live very, very differently than what we do here in Holmes County. Very, very differently. I'm going to suggest that the cultures that we see there is more similar to some of your older cultures back in the days of Jesus and way back on further. Much more similar to those cultures. But I'd like to just maybe describe some of those cultures and the level of immorality that is rampant in those cultures today. And in some ways, I hesitated a bit here as to how far and what to express. But I'd like for you youth to understand that there's things, as you go on in life, there's things that you will face. And there's things that are going to come up in your life on the side of your moral purity. That unless you have a clear understanding of where you are and where you're going, you might lose your way. And that's why I want to share some of these things with us today. And I have a very great concern about that. Because it seems like some of the things we get into, some of us that maybe have gotten exposed to things and we've lost our way a bit, we want to talk about some of those things today. But I'd just like to take you back and give you an example of some of the things that really happened. When we were over there, we were there with a young boy that showed up there almost every day. He'd show up there, spend some time. But as we were there, and we sat down with him, and we were talking. Of course, he has lots of interest. And we talked about a lot of things. And I wanted to know and understand the culture, and I had a lot of questions. And as we did that for quite a number of hours, and finally I said, "Mr. Donnie, I have a question for you." I said, "I'd like to know what the level is of immorality in this community. Right here. I'd like to know the level of immorality." There's houses right beside each other. Children run all over the place. You know, there's bars on the windows so people don't call on the windows. There's your back courtyards. There's, you know, it's your old culture feel. And I ask him, Mr. Donnie, tell me this. The youth, your age, you know, between 15 and 25 years of age, tell me this. Now, tell me this, Mr. Donnie. How many of those have never been into sexual immorality at all? You know, between boy and girl. He thought a while, and then he said, they all are involved. They all are. We talked about pornography. Then I took it a step farther. And I said, Mr. Donnie, I want to ask you another question. You know, there's a lot of moms and dads and older people around here. And I have a question for you, Mr. Donnie. I said, tell me this. You know, you have all these older people, the parents. How many of them step out on their partner, on their spouse? How many step out and are involved in adultery outside of their marriage? How many? And he thought a little while, and he said this. He said, they all do. They all do. Now, take that picture, and you put yourself into a setting like that to be witnessing and sharing and endeavoring to bring people into the Lord, can you consider with me the level of temptation that you're putting yourself into just to be in that environment specifically? Do you follow what I'm saying? I'll give you another little story. One of the brothers from church lived in Haiti. He lived there for quite a number of years. And we were talking about this whole immorality thing and the level. And in Haiti, it's the same thing as what I just described to you. And he said, you know, I came to the place where I knew that I needed to be married in Haiti because the people didn't believe me that I wasn't pure if I wasn't married. And he said, it was not uncommon for me to go to a little storefront and for the lady to say, I'd like to have a white baby. Okay? Okay, now I'm painting a picture to you of a level of immorality that's out there in the culture today. What I described to you is very similar in the big cities today. Very similar. Houses close together, children, youth running together, men, women, all those kind of things. That is a level of immorality that's all around us today. So I guess I'm trying to paint a big picture of an older culture of how things are. And I'm going to say where we are here, there's a level of we're a bit removed from that specifically right here. Do you follow what I mean? We're a bit removed from that. In my growing up years, when I was growing up, we didn't have phones. I remember as a young boy when my parents got their first landline, the first phone in the house. I was a little boy. And I'm going to say I was probably 5, 6 years of age. And it was one of those phones that, you know, you put your finger in and you went around the dial. You know, that was the kind of phone that we had. I myself did not get a smartphone, not because we couldn't have them, but I didn't get a smartphone, or, I'm sorry, I didn't get a cell phone. I didn't get a cell phone until I was about 27 years of age. 26, 27 years of age, they weren't available. We didn't have cell phones, and you know, they weren't readily available. In my time frame, in my growing up years, the availability of pornography, it was, I'm going to say, fairly readily available in certain types of stores. You could walk into a store and you could pick up a printed magazine with pornography on. And people who got into pornography, it was apt to be the kind of people, accessed by someone went to a store, someone out there went to the store, got some magazine with pornography on, looked at it, driving down the road, he didn't want other people to know and to see, and after a while, he threw the magazine out the window. Throwing the magazine out the window, in those days, walking along or biking along the road, you see a magazine, that's where pornography was more readily accessed back in my days when I was your age. Back in those days, as far as specifically pornography, there was a minimal amount of people that actually got involved in pornography. Back in those days, in this community, for example, in some of the Anabaptist circles, I'm going to say there's some higher level of standard of moral purity when it comes to people getting into fornication and all those kind of things. Those things were happening. A bit on a different level than it is today, but there was a level of immorality going on. But when it comes to pornography specifically, normally it was accessed by someone going into a store, and just here and there was a store that, you know, you could buy it. Or sometimes by the cash register, there's a magazine, you could buy the magazine. But that's where those things were accessed when I was a little boy. Today, bringing that step further, today we're at a place where pornography can be accessed not only on a smartphone, but also on a flip phone. Pornography can be accessed by most any kind of device that you pick up. It used to be that you could only get it on a smartphone. Well, that's changed a number of years back. Internet is readily available on flip phones as well. What that has done with the smartphone and the flip phone and the computer and internet access, what that has done is it's opened the door to the specific area of pornography in a way that's far, far more used, much more. There's actually a small percentage of people in the world today that have not looked at pornography. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying. And I'll take it a step farther to say that what pornography does and what that level of immorality does has a horrible, horrible, detrimental effect on people's lives. And let me just explain that a little bit further. First of all, it is extremely addictive. And I'm going to use the word addictive. Extremely. If you start looking at that stuff, it's almost impossible to quit. Okay? And I'm serious when I say that. If you talk to people who have gotten involved with that stuff, the level of grip that has on a person is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Not only that, that stuff will take and it will pervert what is true and godly and upright. And when a young person gets married, what it does is it has perverted their mind and painted a picture and made something that is holy and right and has turned it into something horrible and wicked. And not only that, what they see isn't even real. It's not real. I've talked to many men and women who say that when I got married, I was, what it was put out there to be was not at all like it was portrayed to be. And what I'd like to just simply say here in the beginning of all this is I'd like for us to know what's really there and what's really happening, because Satan is out to destroy every one of you, every last one of you. And he's doing it in means that he wasn't able to before. We'll talk more about some of those things as we keep on going here. But it used to be on the level of culture like I described in Zanzibar and in our bigger cities. It used to be that. And in my younger days, it used to be on the printed paper. And today it's moved to something that's in most of our hands. I'd like to just see a raise of hands. How many of you do not normally have a cell phone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Okay? Good, thank you. Wonderful. That means about more than two-thirds of us, probably three-quarters of us, have a device, either flip phone or smartphone, that unless we do things with it, and obviously, we talk about all those things in brothers' meeting, but I want you all to know that unless there are things done to make that it's not readily accessible, you have the access to that at your fingertips. And I'll take it a step farther. We can put blocks and filters and all kinds of things on, and the majority of those things, there's still a way to get around it if you want to. I hope you hear me there. I'm serious when I say that. And that puts us right here on a level. It puts us right here on a level that's very similar to what I described over in Zanzibar. The level of temptation, the level of access, the level of us being able to get it. even though we have filters and blocks and all those kind of things on. If someone wants to pursue it, wants to get it, there's ways to do that. There's ways to do that. And I guess I want to make that clear, because it has to go way beyond. If we're going to have phones on us, it has to go way beyond filters and blocks and all those kind of things. We're going to have to go way beyond that. Or we'll never make it. I'd like to maybe talk a bit about the blessing of purity. I'd like to maybe talk about the blessing of purity first. The blessing of purity. I have the privilege of standing here and saying that never in my lifetime have I ever looked at pornography. Never in my lifetime have I looked at pornography. And I don't say that with pride. I say that with a heart of thanksgiving, because I have many times heard the cries and heard the agony of men and women who have gotten involved, and the horrible things that it does to men and women. I've heard those cries. But I've had the privilege of coming through and never having been involved in any type of pornography. Now I'll take that back. And let me just share with you a couple comments. When I was a young man, I'm going to say around 14 years of age, in the church that we went to at that time, there was a couple young men that were, I'm just going to call them wicked young boys. Wicked, immoral young boys. I remember one weekend, probably 13 or 14, I am not exactly sure the age, but I remember one weekend, us having meetings, and there were some visiting boys around, and I remember some of the boys saying, "Hey, come with us." And I still remember sitting in a car, and they had country music on, and one of those boys put a book into my hand. He said, "Do you want to read it?" I said, "Yeah." I took that book home. I don't remember many things in the book. It didn't have pictures. But what it had in was evil, wicked, pornographic type stories. That's the closest that I've come to it. And I remember there's still a couple phrases that are there. I don't think about it often, but they're there. The Lord forgave me for all that. That's as close as I've come to looking at that wicked, horrible, ungodly stuff. So coming up through, I had the privilege of being pure. Had the privilege of coming through and living a God-fearing life and never getting into that realm of immorality. And I'm very grateful for it. I'm going to say, And there is, what's the right terminology? There is information, worldly information, there's statistics is the right word. That's what I'm looking for. There is statistics that say that if you, from a young child, come up through and you're not involved in any pornography, and you come up through And you're not involved in any type of pornography until the age of 25. The chances that you get involved in pornography once you're over the age of 25 is quite low. That's statistics. Now, if young people get involved in that level of wickedness and immorality, pornography, as a teenager, if you get involved with that, there is something that happens that your level of future temptation, once you're 25, 35, 45, and on up through, is going to be at a lot higher level. I don't know if you follow that. So if you fall into pornography up to the age of 25, your level of continued temptation is going to be much higher than if you were never into that up to the age of 25. It does something to us. Falling in those kind of sins can be forgiven. God can give us power to overcome those types of sins. But let me tell you, those things do have long-lasting effects, and we must never underestimate. Sometimes we're flippant and we think, oh, I'll dabble in these things. And when I want to repent and get right with God, then I'll confess it and I'll get right with God and I'll go on in life and live happily ever after. Let me tell you, that is not the case. That is not the case. We can be forgiven and we can find power over sin. But let me tell you the effect, the long-lasting effect that some of those things have is way beyond what you think here today. It is. It is. And while we have church guidance, direction on the above issues, you need to know what it will do to you if you get involved with some of that. Matthew chapter 5, if you want to just turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now tell me this, if you're not pure in heart, then what? We won't see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to be reading in verse 13. Where it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened. What does it mean to be hardened? Anyone tell me? What does it mean to be hardened? Lest any of you be hardened. What is that? Calloused. Not very functional, right? Lest ye be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The point here is that sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. Sin puts something over our eyes that we can't see straight. Sin hardens our heart. And then people think they're still a Christian. People think, I'm still walking with God. And they looked at this stuff yesterday, then they said, God, forgive me. And then a week later, they look at it again, then they say, God, forgive me. Then a week later, they look at it again, then they say, God, forgive me. Let me tell you, they're deceived and they have a hard heart. Is that right? Deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Here's another heading I'd like to talk about a bit. Is purity in the mind. Purity in the mind. Purity. A pure mind. A pure mind and a pure heart. What is it? A pure mind. How do we keep our mind pure? Okay? We can talk about keeping our heart pure, right? We can talk about keeping our body pure. Now, keeping our body pure is one thing, but keeping our mind pure takes it a step further. In fact, our mind is where it all begins. And we heard a lot about our mind this morning with Brother Mick. Wonderful introduction to all this. But keeping our mind pure, how do we do that? Keeping our mind pure, our heart pure. I know you young people have grown up and your parents have been pretty careful in what they bring into the homes, right? They're actually pretty careful. They're pretty careful about books. They're pretty careful about music. They're pretty careful about phones. They're pretty careful about computers. Right? Am I right with that? But am I also right in saying that just because they did that make that we didn't get into anything? Did it? No. Wow. Wow, your parents now must not be very protective of you. I mean, if they were trying to be protective and you still got into stuff. Let me just say, your parents are doing the best they can. And as a brotherhood, we're trying to put things into place to help, right? We're trying to do that, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you sense that. You know, you hear us talking about it, and you try to do those things yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, you try to support that. I know you do. I know you do. You try to give yourself to your parents and to the brotherhood in those decisions that we're making. But am I right in saying that there is a level of wickedness that we have and something within us that desires and reaches out for some of those things. And our parents won't be able to harness that. Our parents won't be able to just totally curb all that, and the church won't be able to curb that. And if they won't, who will? Do you follow the point? Who will? Am I right that it's right for the parents to do that? right? Mm-hmm. They're doing their best. You know, they put all kinds of stuff on the devices. They screen the books coming in. The music, all those kind of things, because they want you to have a pure mind, right? And did it stop it? So I guess we're stuck. Are we stuck? We're not stuck. So do you have some answers? The Word of God. The Word of God. And I think you and I just need to make personal choices. Now, I know most of you have become born of the Spirit of God, right? Most of you here have made a choice to become born of the Spirit of God. Most of you here have chosen to move forward in serving God. And you have been making choices. But let me tell you, you are going to need to make decisions and choices way beyond just depending on dad and depending on blocks and filters and all kinds of things that the church asks to do. You are going to need to make a choice if you're going to be pure in heart and pure in mind. You are going to need to make choices. Maybe you don't want to, but I think you do, right? I know you do. I know you do. I'm just going to talk about a couple of these things that come our way, and I'm still at the beginning of page 2 of page 6, and my time's fast running away. Okay. We want to talk about some of the things, and you have to forgive me. I had an illustration already, and it's downstairs on the shelf. And I was going to have a nice pitcher full of water in here, and I was going to put some stuff in so you could see. Okay? And it's not here. I forgot till right now. All right. So, consider with me this pitcher of water. Pure heart and pure mind. And I want to talk about some of the things that if it goes in there, it's no longer pure water. I want to just talk about that a bit. Let's just think about books. There's some of us in here that are really bookworms. And others that are not. Am I right in saying that? There's some of you that, I mean, you could sit there all day long. No, probably not all day, but half a day. Half a day and half the night. And you could just read and read and read because you love to read. And there's books that are very edifying, and then there's books that literally... It comes and it puts a whole bunch of stuff into your mind and in your heart that will defile you. Am I right in saying that? There's lots of books. And those books include romance novels. There's books that include violence. There's books that include things that stir up our flesh. Not only that, I'm going to say there's a lot of stuff on the news media. Right? There's a lot of stuff on the news media, in the news, that is defiling. Am I right with that? My question is, if you want to be pure in heart, if you want to have a pure heart and a pure mind, who's going to be responsible for that? Who is? Yeah. You, right? Me. You. And what are you going to do about it? Are you taking personal responsibility? See, it's right for you to be clearly under your parents. You know, we talked about that yesterday. I know I was sort of hard on you yesterday. I know I was really, really sort of hard on you about obeying your parents. I know I was. And now here today I'm telling you that you need to make decisions, right? Okay, but do you follow what I'm trying to say? All of you here today are going to need to make choices in the reading material that you look at. Everything. Stuff comes in the mail. Stuff on the news. Stuff in the books. All of those things. And let me tell you, there's a lot of stuff that if we look at them, it will take your spirituality, your level of walk with the Lord, and it'll wash it right down the drain. And not only will it wash it down the drain, it'll put 10 gallons of water on top of it so it goes down as fast as it can. Do you follow? It will. I promise you it will. The pure in heart shall see God. Okay. Music. I don't want to spend much time on music. I will just tell you a bit. Some of you might have interest in this. At Faith, we have appointed three men to put together a presentation of how to discern what good music is, and they're working on that. After a while, we're planning to all sit down and listen. Oh, very good. After a while, we're gonna be. Look at that. Praise the Lord, brothers. Thank you. Now, yeah, put it here. I think it's, I'll try to be as careful as you can, because I really don't want my Bible to have effects. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Now, when we look at wrong books, listen to wrong music, when we hear dirty language and we allow it to continue to listen, this is what happens in our heart and mind. Look at that. That's what happens. I can smell it and it stinks. Nobody wants to drink that, I guarantee you. It's horrible. But that's how your heart becomes. That's how your mind becomes. And then you want to serve God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Go to church and sing and pray. Wow, that's a good preaching. Oh, but this is how your heart looks. This is how your mind looks. Right? Now, this is good stuff. This is not. Okay. These influences, they come through books and magazines, through music. And I didn't finish that, but our goal is to help us discern music. That's our goal. And if some of you others want to have access to some of that, that would be a blessing. But because let me tell you, wrong music will take you down the drain with 10 gallons or 55 gallons of water flushing it down as fast as it can. Wrong music will do that. Then it'll get some more. Then you read another book, read another news article, that's perverted, and it'll do more of it. It'll do more of it. Okay. These things come through our devices. Might be in a home, might be on your phone, it might be on a tablet, might be in various places. It might be on the radio of your car. You listen to stuff. And let me tell you, which do you want? Which do you want? The clean. I would actually, if someone would like, I would be willing to share this with someone. And if you're thirsty here this afternoon. I'll keep this for now. A pure mind. These things infiltrate, they come from books, magazines, music, dirty language, wrong influence. It comes through phones, tablets, computers. And let me tell you something, and I don't know if you've grasped this, but I'm going to use the word curiosity. Do you know what the word curiosity is? I'm going to say that the vast majority of people get themselves into immorality because of curiosity. They're curious. I wonder how that would be. I wonder what that is. I don't understand. And you look at and you see three phrases, and it makes you curious to know what's behind that. You listen to something and, oh, I wonder what that is. Let me tell you, don't follow your curiosity. If you have questions, go to your mom and dad and just ask questions. Go to your preachers and ask questions. I know there's many of you that do that. Thank you. You're welcome to do that to me. First, offer it to your parents. Go to your parents. But we're also available. Don't just follow your curiosity. Let me move on here. And I'm just going to be specific in talking about some various things here on keeping our body pure. Okay, am I allowed to do that? Various sins that people, youth, adults, people get into. Self-abuse and masturbation. That is a big one. I realize you're a bunch of young people, and I realize it's a mixed crowd, and I want to be discreet. And yet I want you to know, youth, that those things are sin. They're sin. I'm also going to say that I find that there's a smaller percentage of people that don't get into masturbation and self-abuse. There's a smaller percentage of people that don't get into that than there are those that stay pure. Why is that? Come on, we're the people of God, right? Come on. Amen. I'm getting amens back there. Thank the Lord. Why is that? It's sad. Okay? But I'm putting that on the table. That is sin. Masturbation and self-abuse is sin. It's sin. Sometimes we go into the Bible and look, where does it spell that out? Where does it spell that out? And all the while, you know, deep in your heart, you know, your heart's condemning you. That's why you went looking, right? Right? Okay, what I'd like to do is just simply encourage us. Sometimes we need help to move forward. If you find yourself in a situation where you need help, go to your parents. If you need further help, we're here to help. But let's move forward. Let's be holy. Let's be pure. Let's be God-fearing. You know, let's go way beyond. You know, we're the people of God, right? We are. We're the people of God. If we don't, who will? Who will serve God in purity if we don't? Here's another thing. Bestiality. Messing with animals. That's sin. Here's another thing. And I'm smoking, okay? Now, I don't know that there's any of you that smoke, all right? Right? But let me tell you why I'm saying that. Here, not so long ago, yeah, that was, it was probably 5 years ago. There's a man that when he was a young man in his 20s, he came out of an old order setting that was into immorality, smoking, drinking, those kind of things. And he got converted, and he went to another Anabaptist church that drives cars because he didn't want any part of all this. Then here he is as an older 75-year-old man. And this is what he says. He says, you know, I look back 50 years and the very reasons that I came out of that old order setting, we have that in the church today. Drinking, smoking, immorality. Now, it's not tolerated, but it's there among the youth. Why is that? They lost their vision. Young people came up through and they started flirting with sin. They started flirting with all these kind of things. And let me tell you, they lost it. They lost it. And all of you sit here and you say, I would never smoke. And you probably never would. But unless we talk about these things and unless we make specific efforts, all of us here, we make choices and decisions on all of these issues, and you, with your whole heart, move forward in obedience and holiness and godliness, let me tell you, if you don't do that, there's another generation following this that'll be at that place. This is how it works. Drugs. Social drinking. And I'm also going to put in there, these are issues about body purity, but I'm also going to put in there emotionally involved with the opposite sex. Being emotionally involved with the opposite sex. Now let me just explain that a bit. Often as youth, you ask the question, so what is proper between a boy and a girl? Is it proper for me to ever look at a boy or look at a girl? Or is it proper for me to shake hands? Or is it proper for me to stand there talking? Or, you know, right, you have those questions sometimes, right? First of all, where do we want to end up, one or the other? We want to end up here, right? Right? Okay, so let's just say this. A good way to judge some of those things is by, I think you actually can make the decision, okay? I think you can make the decision for me, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. Okay, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Okay. Am I married?
Yes.
Okay. And do I love my wife?
Yes.
All right. Okay, so what do you think it would be proper for me as a married man that loves my wife, what is proper for me to do with another sister from church? Is it okay for me to shake hands with her? Is it okay for me to even stand there a little bit and you know, talk a little bit? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I do that. I guess I never ask you all. Okay, now, is it okay for me to just sit there for a long time and just have this heart-to-heart talk with another lady? Would that be okay? Not. Okay. All right, so okay, do you follow what's happening? What's pretty much appropriate for a married man is what's appropriate between boys and girls, unmarried boys and girls, right? That's a good judgment. What goes beyond, I'm just going to say, what goes beyond, and see what happens is when a boy and a girl, they sit together and they do this chumming thing. And then do you know what I mean by emotions? Okay. When a boy and a girl, or a man and a wife, you know, if I would sit with another lady from church and I'd sit there and we just talk and share, do you know what happens? There's emotions that would tend to come from me over here. There's emotions that would come from here over here. Now, when those emotions go, that's like doing this. Our heart isn't pure anymore. There's things that well up and stir in our heart that isn't godly anymore. And we're going beyond and defrauding. Okay? I have to skip lots of stuff here. I want to talk just a little bit about the awful vices of some of this immorality. Okay. And I'm specifically, when I say this, I'm first of all going to specifically start talking about fornication and adultery, the actual act. And I'm going to say that pornography is like really close. Really close. Now, you know, obviously we know on a sin level it's same, right? Okay, we're all agreed with that, right? On a sin level, pornography is just as sinful as the actual act. Okay, now, there's a verse I would like to read. There's people who fall into these sins, and a verse, there's a proverb that I like for you to look at. This is in Proverbs chapter 2. Turn there with me. I want to read it because I want you to grasp the level of horrible wickedness that this stuff is. Okay? I want you to grasp that. Proverbs chapter 2. And in the context here, it's talking about men, women falling into adultery, fornication. That's the context. Okay? And it's talking specifically about a strange woman. Now, first of all, I'd like to just say that what we're going to read is a proverb. You know what a proverb is? Can anyone help me? What's a proverb? It's a wise, yes, thank you. It's a wise saying. So it's not necessarily that what we're going to read here in all circumstances, that's just how it is. Okay, do you follow the difference? This is a wise saying. And this is just in normal life, this is how it works itself out. It's a wise saying. It's a proverb. Okay, now, listen to this. We're going to read in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 15. Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their path. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Now verse 19 here, there's a little phrase. This is what it says. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I want to make it very clear here. What I'm trying to say is that this verse is not saying that there's never people that clearly repent and come clear. That's not what it's saying. But this proverb says that people who fall into these types of sins rarely come clear. It grasps a hold of us in ways that you sit here and you have no clue. You have no clue. Let me just read it again. And I'm going to read here. Verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And I like to just simply say that this is specifically talking about adultery and fornication, and it's also talking about, I'm going to say, pornography is very close. There is a level of grasp that some of these sins have on people who get involved in. And my goal here today is to help you all realize how strong those things can have on your life. And let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, we have to be afraid of it. We have to be afraid of it. We have to be at a place where we take these things to a level and a depth that we do everything within our power to run away from it. And unless there's that level of fear within us, brothers, these things, that level, you know, all this access that we have to everything, we won't make it. We won't make it. We won't make it. And I'm going to make a statement here that all of us needs to come to the place where we make what I'm going to call a Joseph decision. All of us have to come to the place on these issues of immorality and the things that fill our minds and all these things. We have to come to the place where we make what I'm going to call a Joseph decision, where we decide in our hearts, and I'm just going to tell you that as a young man, it's something that I covenant with God and told God, God, I need your help. I have to have your help, but God, I make a decision that I will never give myself in these areas. God, help me. But I clearly remember making a Joseph decision. Do you follow what I mean by that? Making a Joseph decision to where that is stamped on my heart, and there's just lines that I will not cross. There's lines that is I won't cross those lines. And let me tell you, youth, we have to. We can't depend on mom and dad. We have to come to where we do what Brother Mick was talking this morning, where we walk with God and we have the fear of God and we make God-fearing decisions for our life. But we'll never make it. We'll never make it. There's a level. I'll have to tell you this. Some years ago, out in Pennsylvania, there's some kind of a big get-together, various church affiliations, so it was a big, broad thing. I'm not sure how many people were there, but in that meeting there, they did a questionnaire, and they asked specific questions. Have you ever been on pornography? If you have, how long has it been since you last did it? And these were all, this wasn't youth. This is to a broad crowd, from youth all the way up. They asked those questions on a piece of paper and privately handed them in. I think there are some of you who know the percentage. What was the percentage of people that said that they have been onto pornography within the last 30 days? Can anyone help me with that? Does anyone know? I forget. I came away shocked. I wasn't there. But the percentage that I heard was phenomenal. Up there on half from what I remember. That was onto pornography in the last 30 days. I say that to say we can put all kinds of filters and blocks and all kinds of stuff. But you can walk into the store and buy a device. You can get, if you can have access, you know, if you want the stuff, you can get it anywhere you want to. Brothers and sisters, we have to be at a place where we make decisions and we take personal responsibility and we fear God Almighty and we walk with Him. We have to do that. We have to do that. My time is way past gone. I wanted to talk about lots of things, maintaining purity, how to become pure, all kinds of stuff here I wanted to talk about, and I won't. But there's one thing here that I do want to just mention. I feel it's needful for me to just mention this yet. And that is, in the Anabaptist circles, there is a deterioration of hands-off courtships. Follow? There are people who look at scriptures like 1 Corinthians 7 and they say, well, that's not really what it means. And there's all kinds of loopholes and things that happen there. But let me tell you, I would like to just encourage us, hands off courtships. Is something to treasure. And I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I had a hands-off courtship. And we didn't quite do what some of the people do today when they get married, and they maybe after the ceremony they have a little private room and they have some, they give their new wife a kiss, and we didn't have that, all right. But there's a place out here on 201. My wife and I got married at MCA Church House there, you know, almost 38 years ago. 28 years ago. Thank you, brother. You rescued me there. Okay, all right. So, when we left the wedding, we came down 201 toward 241 and on down toward Berlin. And there's a place there, you know, when my wife and I drive through there, I look at her and she looks at me. That's the place that I gave her first kiss. Okay, this is my point. Let me tell you, there is a holiness and a purity in getting married and never having held hands. There's a holiness and a purity and a treasure there. Now, let me just tell you, people have no clue. People have no clue. People have no clue. It's a treasure. I'm saying this to just say, make commitments today. Make commitments to be pure in your heart, mind, body. Make commitments. Make commitments today. I'm sorry. I guess no one fell asleep. Make commitments today. Make commitments. Make commitments. Please, please. This is not light stuff. Make commitments today. Lord bless you all.